One is the diet of Persia. That's what Mr. Singh asked me to. He asked me to put one agenda item called closure. But, honorable members, good afternoon. On a more serious note, there are time constraints. We have agenda before us, honorable members, that has been circulated. And as you can see, it's really just in-house business, or committee business. And a proposal for what happens next term. And hopefully that will cover many of the outstanding items that we've been piling up. So can I have an indication, before I do that, the agenda has opening, it has apologies, it has adoption of minutes, report, tabling of certain documents, consideration of the program, any other business, and closure. Could I have an indication if that is an agenda that can be adopted by anybody? Indications of adoption? We do. Thank you very much. That's the case. No amendment, so we will take it as it is. In terms of apologies, honorable members, Honorable Mente has put in an apology, and Honorable Sheikh Imam has put in an apology.
We
will put that on hand side. And Honorable Matara is also on the list of apologies. Could we then, honorable members, go direct to our minutes, which should be in your packs? And could you look at the minutes dated the 19th of October? Two o'clock, Good Hope Chambers. Everybody has got those at a minute? We do. Thank you very much. Yes, sir? I'm just saying, have we got the set of minutes, and then we will... If you all got the set of minutes, can we then look at page, the unmarked, page number one. Any proposed changes on page number one of the minutes of the 19th of October?
May I request my initials to
reflect EM? So I'll do that, ma'am. EM. Any other changes on page number one? On page number two, honorable members? On page number three? On page number four? On page number five? On page six? On page number seven? On page number eight? On page number nine. Can I have somebody move that the minutes be adopted? A true reflection of what happened on the 19th, and that they be adopted. As such, Mr. Singh, and it's seconded by Mr. Mr. De Beer and the House. Honorable members, we're going to have to maybe work in in tandem with what we have as a program for the second term. I'm sure everybody's got the program. I want to ask if there are any matters arising from these minutes, and if they're not covered in the second program. Are there any matters arising from these set of minutes, so that we don't lose them? Happiness. Thank you. All right. Yeah. Thank you very much. Minutes of the 21st of October at 9 a.m. in room 315. Are there any changes, amendments on page number one? Page two? Page number three? And page four? Somebody move for the adoption of the minutes of the 21st of October. Ma'am Coleman, seconded? We do. That's Mr. Honorable Issa and the House. Any matters arising from these that members have picked up on the minutes of the 21st of October? No. Thank you very much, honourable members. If we then move to the minutes of the 23rd of November, and that was in V226, at 1300. We've got those minutes? 23rd of November? Colonel? No? Yeah, it says V226, Committee Venue 226, 23rd of November. You don't have those minutes, man? Have you got an extra copy for Ms. Coleman? You do have them. Okay. All right. You move for the meeting of the 19th. On the 23rd. Nobody's still dealing with the 23rd now. We haven't, that's where we are. We're only starting with the 23rd now. You're right. So on page number one of the meeting of the 23rd, any changes? On page two of the 23rd, any changes? On page three of the 23rd? And on page four of the 23rd, any changes? Matters arising? Oh, let's move for adoption of the minutes of the 23rd. Thank you, Mr. Singh. And seconded by Ms. Honorable September. Everybody's happy. Any matters arising from the minutes of the 23rd? Yes, Mr. Singh?
Yes, Chairman. Thank you very much. I think the item four, now correspondence, we are dealing with today. So that's a matter of us. But also I want to make a point, Chairperson, that I've been attending many of these meetings, like my other colleagues, but I've never been able to understand the presentations made by the Secretary of Parliament. It confuses the hell out of me, because there is a, going on and on and on and not specific. And I think in future we should make sure that if there's an item on the agenda which says strategic plan, that it's confined to that, because we move around from pillar to post, and I'm here long enough not to get confused, but I do. So I think that's something that we should look at in the future.
noted, and Honourable De Beer.
That point is captured in the minutes. We're still going to do what we have business to do.
Okay. The minutes of the 23rd have been adopted, and the matter arising, as we say, is on today's agenda. The minutes of the 17th of February, is that it? 23rd of November. Yeah, okay. 23rd of November, 1800, yes. My fault, I've got those. In room 475. Any changes on page number 1 of the 23rd November, 1800 hours? On page number 2. On page number 3. On page 4. On page number 5. On page 6. And on page 7. Somebody move for the adoption of the minutes of the 23rd at 1800 hours. Move as Mr. Singh seconded. Anybody? Anybody second for the 23rd of November? 23rd of November. Thank you very much, sir. Thanks, Mr. Tienhazer. Thanks. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Waters. And the House accepts. And of course, again, item number 4, many of those are covered on yeah. Items number 4, I think, are covered. Are there any other matters arising that members think that we should flag on the minutes of the 1800 hours? I think they're all covered. Oh, yes, Mr. Singh.
Thank you very much. Just on the summary of decisions taken, page 6, we did receive reports to 4.4, but I think we haven't had an opportunity to engage as a committee, and I think when we come back, we need to engage on what kind of proposals we make in the general.
Hopefully when we get to the program going forward, it will cover that and whatever else was raised by yourself and Mr. Tapia in terms of moving from just talking to some real work. Having noted that, can we move to the minutes of the 17th of February, Honourable Members, at 454, on the 17th of February, on page number 1. On page number 2. 17th of February. On page number 3. On page 4.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I'm on the waters.
At change 3.1, the committee expressed dissatisfaction at the fact that the Secretary of Parliament and the Executive Authority have not yet entered into a performance agreement for the 2016-17. The committee was concerned about the matter. To this end, it was suggested that the executive authority and the city be requested to clarify. We said we would invite them before the next meeting in order to clarify the matter. So I'd like to get that corrected, please. To this end, it was suggested that the executive authority be invited to come before the committee at its next meeting in order to clarify the reasons for this discretion. That's what we agreed to, indiscretion, but this discretion, the fact is, Chair, and I thought...
Before you go there, the correction suggested by Mr. Waters, are we comfortable that that is, in fact, what was agreed last week? I mean, at this meeting. Okay, we will make the amendment accordingly. You've got that, Cindy? All right. We will recommend Modessa.
But Chair, I mean, having said that, the Speaker and the Chair of the NCF is not here today to come and explain what's going on. And we only have 2 weeks left of this financial year. And we still have a Secretary, as far as we know, without a performance that's in place. So can I ask what's happening in that regard? And why the Speaker and the Chair of the NCP is not here to explain themselves? Thank you.
All right. Can we clarify that one to down at the minute before we get to the next point? Because I think there is an answer to that. All right. With the amendments already identified on page 4, are there any other amendments on page number 4? Honorable De Beer?
Yeah.
And Gavada?
Also 3.1, 1, 2, 3, the fourth line from the bottom, that he has not received a performance bonus. There's one performance too many there.
Thank you. You covered. Thank you very much, Baba. Any other amendments on page number 4? Page 5? Page 6? Page 7? And page number 8.
Chairperson?
Yes, sir. Honorable De Beer.
Sorry. Page 6, Chair. 3.6, the second line, in which it was responded that staff are provided with same what?
Okay, but we can say provided with the necessary tools, if that's what you want, but I think that's what you should first do. So do you got that? All right, we'll make it clear. So that's it. On 33.6, on page number 6, you read the first sentence. You've got that. At the end of the first sentence says that staff are provided with same. And before that, we spoke about adequate tools, so tools of the trade or something. All right. With those changes, honourable members, can I put the entire minutes? Yes, ma'am.
Yes, we put them in.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Chair. The interpretation is in line with what the Honourable Member is saying, because they are saying because of the majority of rights, inefficiencies were identified, so that led to the principle of that position. For me, as it is stated, that is what it means. Because what the Honourable Member asked when she said, so I understand it well. So maybe we can ask if it's now clarified. Because as it is, that is what it means. That is my understanding. We need not to rephrase it unless it may be it's still causing confusion so that it can be rephrased.
Before I come to you, no, I think the question that we are asking is this a true reflection of what the Secretary said? If we're happy that it's a true reflection, we'll use this when we interrogate him later. We don't have a situation where he turns around and says, but you never captured accurately what I said. That is the question that I think is being asked. Now, I don't know, I'm looking at members that were here to assist us in answering the question, is this a true reflection or did we misinterpret what he said? And how do we deal with it? If we're not sure that this is a true reflection, should we in fact captured it and adopted it in a minute? That's the next question.
Chair, I uncovered that we leave it there as a true reflection of the meeting. And we get an answer to this question. We interrogate this issue the next time we meet.
Do you have him called? All right. So it'll be another, what do we call it, for future we'll deal with it.
On page 6, just the sequence of numbers seems to have changed. That reflecting on 3 points on page 7, the top line, say that after inquiry about the cost of taking to the people, I'm not sure whether taking applies. Yes, that correction. And the last one is on the fifth line, just towards the end of the fifth line, where it says, committee further caution against using these platforms for party political to which should probably be party political purposes or something.
Yes, sir.
Thank you very much. Any other changes on page number 7? No? On page 8? Thank you. Can I have somebody move adoption with the amendment of the minutes of the 17th of February? Thank you, Honourable De Beer, seconded by Honourable Singh. And are there any matters arising that we've not covered? Yes, let's take Singh and then Waters.
Waters on the top of our feet.
Okay.
But I think all the summary of decisions need to be attended.
Yes. I'm saying we just have to make sure that when we get to the next item, that they are indeed covered. That's all about it. So what, Honourable Waters?
Chair, thank you. Just one point that I made earlier. The fact that we did read the material of the interview that we explained myself, and the fact that we only have 2 weeks left of this financial year. So I just wanted to know why they're not here. Maybe they were invited, I don't know. And how are we going to attend to this matter? It's very serious. And, you know, I know we're going to get to the program, but the program, I think, starts in May. So it's another month that we wait, you know, we have to wait until we get answers to this question.
All right. Minutes have been dealt with. There is the matter of the request for the Speaker and the Chair of the NCOP to have been here to discuss or to clarify the performance contract with the Secretary. Honourable Mohai, do you want to talk to that? Let us be clear.
Thanks, Chair. I think they were not invited immediately when we change the status of the meeting, we suspended the invitation of the chair and the speaker. Members will recall that this meeting was supposed to deal with all outstanding matters, organogram, all of the range of issues that we are supposed to deal with, including this matter. So once there was an understanding that Parliament management, particularly the secretary and the other team are not available, we suspended this matter. So we will invite, we took a decision guiding the secretary that the invitation should be extended for the speaker and the chair when the committee considers the trust plan. So, but however, as we undertook in the previous meeting that we follow up, chairs to follow up on the agency of this matter, confirmation was made that the matter has since been attended to by the chair and the speaker with regard to complying with the applicable legislation. But what is outstanding will be the discussion with the committee and the speaker and the chair. Thanks.
Honourable Senator.
Yeah, thanks very much, Chair, and thank you very much for the report back. But with respect, I mean, it can't be complied with. It can't comply with something retrospective. The FMPLA, which is the parent legislation of this body, says very clearly that it has to be concluded within, I think it was a month or a week of the start of the financial year. So it's not something you can go back and patch up and fix up 2 weeks before the end of the financial year. There's been a material non-compliance with the act that we are mandated to oversee. And I think it's a very serious matter. So I really think they need to come before us and they need to explain to us how and why it happened and what measures we've put in place to ensure it doesn't happen again in the coming financial year. But it's not like, you know, fixing a leak. We can patch it up and it stops the leak. It was a fundamental breach that happened at the beginning of the year. And it can't be repaired ex post facto.
Just on this point,
Chair, I thought I should just request that we pass the matter, because no matter how much you can talk about it, we don't give any solution to the matter. But to say that we await the speaker and the chair. Because we're talking 2020 and the whatever then we say, but until then, let's just have the understanding that they will be invited to extend and that will be fine. If we can just have that common understanding, that we deal with the matter.
Okay. What we're saying, I'll come to you on the waters. I think where we're getting to is that, in fact, they didn't comply. That we're agreeing with in terms of the time frame, that they were invited to attend our meeting on the, I think it's the 12th of May, the Strat Plan meeting on the 12th of May, because this meeting was, because the Secretary of Parliament and the administration were not available today, they were then not invited for the meeting for today, but for a meeting when those officials are also available so that they could come with the officials. That's more or less summarizing it, and that indeed they need to appear. And the earliest that they can appear, Honorable Waters, will then be the new year. Taking into account what you're saying, that we are 2 weeks away from the financial year. With that picture, Honorable Members, is there anything else that Honorable Members want us to do other than to make an undertaking that they appear on the 12th? Honorable Waters?
Just the principle going forward, if I may. Here are the explanations, I accept them. But if we're going to have a meeting in future where the Secretary and his team cannot make it, and we need the Executive to come and account for whatever reason, there's no reason why the Executive can't come without the Secretary, because they're accounting for their role, not for his role, if you can put it that way. And so, you know, the Secretary doesn't have to be with the Speaker or the Chair of the NCP every time they come before it. So I think in future, if we can have a distinction between the two, and if one group can't make for whatever reason, the other group still has to come, the executive or the secretary must come. Can we agree on that?
Yeah, I'm looking at members. Can we agree on that, honourable members, depending on the agenda item? Ideally, they should both be here, but depending on the agenda item, it shouldn't be that if one is not here, the other one should be excused automatically. I think that's the request that is being made by honourable members. Do we agree in principle on that approach? Yes? Thank you. Yes, we agree. All right. So that then deals with minutes and the matters of the executive authority not appearing before us today. Honourable Singh, I'm hoping that with the next agenda... No. We're doing the adoption of the report. When we get to the consideration of the second term, Honourable Singh, can we then discuss your matter in terms of exactly what do we want or how these guys must prepare and empower us for their meetings. So can we shelve that one for them? Thank you. Could we then move to the report, honourable members? That was the mid-year report, and members received that report. The report, draft report, standing committee, 2016-2017, mid-year. The report dated the 15th of February. Must be changed to the 16th of March, 2017, as opposed to the 15th of February. All right?
Yeah.
Right on top.
Yeah.
Okay?
Chair, I move for adoption.
Oh, thank you very much. We've read this report. Thank you very much. Okay, so we'll put the entire report, page 1 to page number 7, page number 13, for adoption. Thank you very much, honourable members. The report for the midterm has been adopted. You need a move and a second. Cindy's sticky for movers and seconders. Mr. Singh moves, and Mr. Honourable De Beer second, and the House is the meeting is happy that takes care of our mid-year report. Honourable members, the next agenda item is tabling and consideration. Can we indicate to honourable members that in the past few days we received this correspondence from Nehau? What we did do as chairs was to acknowledge that we've received the correspondence from Nehau. We also circulated it to members. I'm hoping members have received it. And we are formally putting the Nehau matter on the table as correspondence. The question that we must now answer is how do we deal with it, honourable members? Honourable Singh. But let's just make sure that everybody's got the same amount. I've got three documents, or four. We've got a document that's got an Ahau letterhead. We've got that one. One that says Labour Court, and then another one that says from T. Modife, 857582, I think, in handwritten. Got that one? That's got a Parliament letterhead memorandum, T. Modife, to L. Moniatri. You got that one? Then we've got a page that starts with 600 million right on top. And then we've got a Stats Courant, 26th February 2013. Those are the documents we're talking about. Members got all those documents? Yes. All right, honourable members, there are those documents. We have We've given them to you as correspondence that we've received. The question is, how do we process them? And Mr. Singh wanted to speak. Mr. Singh?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. And I think we have to thank Niao for bringing these matters to our attention. I suggest that what we do is at our next meeting, we give Niao an opportunity to present what they've put down in writing here. But in the meanwhile, we send it to the Secretariat, Secretary of Parliament for a response. And then we also give them an opportunity to respond to what's here. And then if there's an impasse in terms of dealing with some of these issues, then we need to mediate that impasse. Because we've got to take the concerns of our staff very, very seriously in this Parliament, given the past experiences that we've had of strikes and Parliament not sitting, etc.
I will
hear
again.
Well, thanks very much. I just think we must be wary not to turn ourselves into a Labour court here. It's important that we understand what our role is. Nevertheless, there are some very serious accusations that are made here, which need to be tested. The Honourable thing is absolutely right, and those relate directly to our role as excise and oversight. I'm particularly concerned here around the issue of the bursary allocation that's done in terms of the policy of Parliament. And I think it would be very simple matter to just be provided with the policy, the bursary allocation policy, if we can receive that, and we'll be able to do that pretty quickly by ourselves whether that policy has been adhered to. I think the same applies to the accusation about sitting on bid committee. There must be a supply chain management policy that's adopted in terms of the regulation. Let's get a copy of that, served up what the supply chain management policy is. We'll be able to see very quickly from that whether there's been a contravention. The performance bonuses, etc., I think we can interact there, but I'm not sure there's much influence that this committee can have in that particular aspect. I do think that we need to give Nahawu a hearing, or at least let them know that we're taking their concerns seriously. There's a very low morale among staff already in the parliamentary precinct, and I think we need to give them an indication that these issues are issues that we take seriously, and we will be driving for. But at the same time, we must not turn ourselves into
Further comments on Honourable September, then Honourable Masondo.
Yes. Thank you very much. I would suggest that we do not take the letter as one package. We look at the different issues that are in the letter and accordingly unpack them and decide accordingly what we will do. You have just adopted a report, I was in here, but you have just adopted a report that said on page 12, you spoke about the labor matter, and you said how that are being dealt with, and I'm not going to go through all of that. So I think in the spirit of those kind of issues that have been raised, I just move into the bonus. We should maybe just separate the bonus issue by start there a little bit. The one is we obviously have to allow the spirit of what you have been saying here to undertake the matter in that way. We will remain concerned that the matter does not find a resolution. And there's nothing wrong for us to say that. But I think we must allow the parties to do that. On the postulation that we must not turn ourselves into a labor court and all of that. So I think if we appreciate those processes, in that matter, for example, should be best handled in that kind of way, there's nothing wrong for us to be informed on what the progress is thereof, because we wouldn't want unhappy staff on this matter to continue. If you look at the other matters that are there, then if you look at the other matters, then of course they are all allegations that are being put to us, and what is best for us to do is obviously for ourselves to find a mechanism also as to how we can ourselves verify the accuracy or otherwise of the matter so that we can also take an informed decision on how we need to. For example, there must be some people that are accountable for a lot of these things. We don't have to wait for another meeting for them to provide us with information. So if we feel that they want to ask me how to come here to, we have to decide on the matter that has been put before us. We have to decide on the content that is before us. And we have to say how do we want to process the correspondence that we have here. So if you have acknowledged it already, we would agree. It's the right thing to do to acknowledge the matter. You should go further and say the content where there are noted also. Then insofar as the different items is concerned, I think we must take a different approach to see how do we get to the bottom of the issues that are raised in there. And having ourselves receive all that information, let's make an informed decision on how do we then process it further. They are not minor issues that are being raised, they are severe issues that are being raised, but it does warrant us to take a specific view on how we want to do it. My feeling is each one of them can't be taken just as a package issue. Each one of them are individual issues that are being raised and must be dealt with accordingly in the manner of on the, how we would want to respond to them. Of course, we can see how we are going to our attention.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm broadly covered. Just to emphasize that I think it's very important that we should not see ourselves as a bargaining council. And secondly, that we should not undermine existing structures in Parliament that are meant to deal with these matters. And the kinds of issues that we should see here and consider should really be better than the normal process.
Any other takers on this matter? We'll come back to you. Now, before we come back to you, let me just take Nguyen and then I'll come back to you, sir. The beer?
Chairperson, Honorable Member is 100% correct. If you look at 6.4.2 on page 12 of the report, it's just as the committee notes the report by Parliament, it emphasizes that all outstanding issues between the two parties need to be addressed in these issues. So there will have to be a feedback regarding this matter by the Secretary of Parliament. I support that proposal by the motion.
I'm unclear what the proposal is, but we can deal with that just now. The thing is that I think that the reason why it's come here is precisely because those channels are not working and are broken down, and that's why we're being used as a last resort. So I say, I don't think for us to arbitrate on things, but what the point I made at the beginning was, for me, there's some very clear issues here around policy. Now, it's our job to oversee implementation of policy here in Parliament. So, for instance, the recruitment and selection policy, we need to get a copy of that. We need to then measure the allegation against that, whether that policy has been effectively implemented by the administration and the executive authority. The contravention of the FMPLA, that's also something which we'll be able to determine quite quickly. Filling of vacancies, we can get a report. But then again, the bursary allocation. Parliament, the bursary allocation of Parliament is done according to a policy. If the Secretary of Parliament didn't qualify in terms of that policy, then there's been a contravention of that policy. And this committee should act, must act, and express itself on it. So, I think that's the concern that I have, that we can say leave it to the other structures, that's fine, but I think that they're not being resolved, and that's probably having this ongoing conflict, and the matters are being brought here. So, to me, it's very clear that we can get
all right, let's hear Honourable Tabata, Honourable Tabata. September, and we'll try and craft a way forward after that.
Yeah, Chair, I said we must be able to separate between issues that relate to HR and are issues that must be addressed at that level, and issues that are related to the financial performance of Parliament, which would necessarily belong to this issue if they are raised in the House document. Let me just give an example of what I'm talking about. On this four page letter, for instance, on the third page thereof, an allegation of contravention of financial management of Parliament. That would be an example of an issue that the committee might want to look at. Because it relates to financial management of Parliament. So we must be able to separate those and leave issues that relate to HR to where they belong and handle the issues that belong.
Honourable Watson, this will be the absolute last one, and I'm going to propose a way forward. Oh, I beg your pardon, before you want to die, recognize September. I'm sorry. What to do the after September?
Let me get back to what I said earlier on. In the letter, Nihal says that indeed they have done everything.
Yeah.
On the performance bonus, they say that they have done everything, the stalemate. Yes, the separation that I'm saying and cautioning us on how we think we should proceed with it. If there's a stalemate between two parts, the labor law states that they will go to mediation, arbitration, all of these other different things. We must afford the parties to exercise those kind of things and not be seen as a committee that then undermines those kind of processes that are there. And that must be undertaken. Nothing wrong for us to get a report from the secretary of somebody that says, has this matter been concluded? That separation that I'm making. Now that I think we don't have to lump all of these things together. And our process is different. So that's my suggestion on that one. We understand now, saying to us, look, as a plea, we are really asking you as a plea. But we must assist the union also in how we can make proposals to them also to deal with that. I think on the other matters, we separating them. Honourable thing said, yes, bring them here. I said, we don't have to bring them here. I said, we can, in the meantime, also say that the committee has received the correspondence, and this committee can take a decision, and therefore we ask that the committee be afforded answers to these allegations. And how the HCA wants to do with that, over for the next meeting, whatever we decide, we can't do that. I'm saying that because the issues that have been raised here are not frivolous issues, they are serious. Expedite the matters that are being raised in here because they are most of the policy matters. Let's get when they need to fill vacancies. If you look at this point is linked to the point that has been raised earlier on in the minutes given. This one of 3D. You go link those two together and you can't ask now to come and explain it a bit more because we ourselves have an interest in this matter too. And then we have agreed how do we need to process it. That's all that I've been saying to you when I said let's separate the issue on what our interest is trying to do in terms of processing all of them.
Honourable
Chair, I want to emphasise the fact that I strongly believe that HR matters are our concern. We have a responsibility as a committee here to oversee the functioning of Parliament. We hold the executive to account, that's the Speaker, and the chair of the MTOP, and we hold the secretary to account. And any HR matters, we must deal with, quite frankly. The fact that we've been given these documents, it's sort of like a whistleblower, you know, giving us documents, and we should give them the decency of investigating these matters and addressing them as much as we can. I'm saying, I agree we mustn't become the Labour Court, but there's a lot of issues, serious issues, that have been raised here, and we need to investigate and check. We are serious about the functioning of Parliament. And then my last point is the fact is that this is the only forum that can oversee, that does oversee Parliament. Where else do these issues go to? So we have no obligation to investigate this matter. So I would like to concur with the members that have suggested that we invite staff to Howard here to our next meeting to be briefed on these matters, and that we then, if need be, bring in the secretary or the HR department, wherever we feel is necessary, to discuss that about, you know, appointments, headhunting, that kind of thing, that's here in the, on page 3 of the paper. Thank you, Chair.
All right. Let's get to the honourable members. I was just looking at it. These other documents are more supporting documents of this letter, isn't it? In this letter, I think there's no disagreement that when it comes to contravention of FMPLA, that's our business. So on that one, we can easily ask get the policy number one and ask Secretary of Parliament to confirm or deny whether he is on the adjudication panel. I mean, that we can do without him coming here. We can write a letter saying, can we have the policy and the allegation that you are the chairperson of that adjudication commission, what is your view? Because that's what they're alleging it to be in terms of the supply chain management. Is there agreement on that one? Now looking at those two young ladies there, because they don't seem to be agreeing, because we need to find, I thought if we went and dealt them, as you were saying, let's not deal with the whole letter globally, but deal with them item by item and then see which ones can we deal with, which ones are not in our domain. I want to just zoom in on to that contravention of financial management. How do we deal with that?
Yes. In terms of issues that we find though we separate issues, but we still have to hear the how. The how has to come before us. I was covered by the fact that we should look at issues, separate them, and then call the leadership of the institution to come. on the issues that are being raised here, so that we can clarify ourselves. And if we feel we agree with the union on the issues that are raised, then take the management and the leadership of the institution on the best thing that we feel we're not convinced about. I thought that is the role that we should be playing. Unlike now, it should be like now we are not managing business. I don't understand. That's my take on the
matter. Before I allow you, Honorable Senator, there are policy matters that we have to deal with. There are policy matters that we have to deal with. I mean, if there's flouting of the PFMA or the, what is that one, the SCOCA, then SCOCA is able to deal with it. Here we are able to deal with it. So I'm suggesting, that's what I'm saying on this matter. I don't see a problem with us saying, is there a policy on supply chain management to be given to us? And for us to take a decision whether that supply chain management policy has been flouted. That's what we can do and get out of the way. And we can do that even before they come. We could write a letter and get that policy. And I think that's what Honorable Stena has suggested initially. So in terms of that one, can we cancel that one and not go back to it? We'll write to them and say, please supply it to your policy. That policy will be distributed amongst ourselves, and we'll take a decision whether it has been flouted. It doesn't need anybody to come and do any presentation. We can interpret that on ourselves. So that one, can we have that one dealt with? So, all right. Honorable Senator, that one at least is dealt with, because I'm trying to deal with this letter and tick off those that we've dealt with. So,
Chair, just do you want to make a broader point, if
yes.
I may, and that, you know, whilst we mustn't assume powers of the Labour Court, we also mustn't cross-strike this committee. This committee is the only committee in Parliament that is there to hold the Speaker, the Chairperson of the National Council of Provinces, and the Administration Council. There's no other committee in Parliament. So if we refuse to deal with certain matters, then, you know, then we're also shrugging off a responsibility. And I think that we mustn't fall into the trap that we are only confined to matters in the FMPLA. We are replacing, you may remember, the Parliamentary Oversight Authority. And the Speaker, when dissolving the Parliamentary Oversight Authority, said that the powers and functions of that would be transferred to this committee, which gives us far broader powers outside of the scope of the FMPLA itself. And if that's not going to be the case, then the Speaker needs to re-establish the POA, because you can't have a situation where there's no line of accountability on various matters. For me, the bottom line is the buck stops here in this committee for all matters relating to the running of Parliament and the executive authority. That this is the body that holds them accountable.
Can I make the following suggestion, Commonwealth? I'm looking at this letter. We've agreed that contravention of FMPLA is, the way we'll deal with it is going to ask for the policy to be sent to us. On the others, if we took this letter and sent to Parliament, the leadership of Parliament, whoever they are, we've received this matter. There are concerns about you not having paid bonus, not having followed recruitment, not have filled vacancies, and your bursary allocation, and ask them to give us a written response to those. On the basis of that written response, we then take it forward. Is that acceptable? And I'm saying we'll take it forward. We have the opportunity on the 12th, when all these parties are here, both the Speaker and the leadership of the institution, where we could ask them physically face to face. So we'll ask them to give this up as part of the working document for the staff plan. Is that okay, Honourable Member? All right. So we've then dealt with the Nehawu one in the sense that we were, it's work in progress, Honourable Members. And hopefully we finalise on the 12th at the meeting. And if needs be, we will take a decision there in terms of going forward. So for the record, now how this matter has been processed, we've applied our minds, and we will keep them informed if there's a need for them to make themselves available. But at this point, we will deal with it. Can we move to the item on the program? Yes? And we should have a document. I don't know if everybody's got a document in color. The others don't have it in color. You're black and white. All right. Now, is it all right if we ask Cynthia then to present it so that we can challenge them? All right, Cynthia, so I don't know who presented. Do you want to talk to Cynthia? No, not challenge them, so that she can clarify and we can. Do you want to talk to Cynthia? Yeah, please just talk to it and then members can. What is the thinking, and then members can either adopt and make the amendment. Finalized its draft plan, and is it advisable for us to discuss our draft plan in the absence of Parliament having finalized its draft plan? So that's a question that you need to talk to there, and also just to indicate to members that depending on the answer, at that draft plan session, we will invite Speaker, Chair of NCOP, and all the senior managers of the strat plan. The question though is that strat plan before or after the parliamentary strat plan, and if not, why are we going to have a strat plan before Parliament has finalized the strat plan? That's the one question. Let's just take questions, and I'm looking at the team that prepared this to answer it. Are there any other questions that members would like to raise on the program itself? After having answered those questions, we must take a decision whether we want to adopt it or not, but these are just clarity questions. De Beer, Singh, September, Waters. In that order?
Thank you, Chair. Referring to the 21st of June, it's a Wednesday. That's the day that the Finance Committee in the NCOP is having its meetings. There's a clash. We will have to maneuver finance meeting from provincial treasury. I don't have a proposal now because we have to go and see how we can maneuver.
Yeah, thank you, Chair. I'd just like to know if this takes into consideration today's provisional approval program by the programming committee, because there were dates today that we amended, etc., etc. I don't know what it was there or what the scale is. And if I can recall, and you can remind me about my aging, is that I think by the end of May, first week of June, we're going to be doing the president's vote, parliament's vote, etc., etc. Now, there's no point in doing the budget plan and PPP after all of that. When we speak in the debate, we're going to know exactly. And if I can recall, it was the end of May. I don't have the program here now, but I have it somewhere. Maybe I have it back in.
The first concern is that the program must take into consideration the legal parliament program. I think we've got to find a way of looking at the date, especially on Wednesday. We've got to find a way of seeing how everyone can be accommodated. Because it's not that everyone is just available from 9:00 on the Wednesday. The majority of committees are sitting on that day. So I think there needs to be some discussion on how we can be accommodated. Otherwise, we will just continue to follow. So I would want to ask the Chair, we can say that the intention of the different things that we would like to talk about are not necessarily out of order. But I think we will have to go back and just double check with the program whether things are in line with the way the program is, and then revert back to us on that. That would be my suggestion on that. On the last one, on the track plan of Parliament, can somebody help me? Everyone is supposed to have this track plan at a particular date, isn't it? Now, is Parliament excluded from that? We're not excluded from that. If that is the case, then it means that there is supposed to be a track plan somewhere in the pipeline. So the question is becomes obsolete. In what we have asked earlier on, and therefore then there will be something that we will
just in relation to the program for next term, which is quite compact given that we have all the budget votes, and it's quite an intense program where we're having 6 budget votes a day, and on Friday 3 budget votes. So if you look at this, where we say we're going to sit on a Friday the 12th, for example, we say from 8:30 to 5, but budget votes are scheduled from 10 to 12, right? Now, it may not affect all of us, but we often work some duties, so we have to be there. And the smaller parties also might not have the luxury of sending other people to those debates. So I think we have to be conscious of that as well. So you might have to sit like after 12 on Friday. But I think sending the new program should be out so you can compare it. I see the budget. I was a bit nervous. I didn't see where we were going to be briefed on the 2017-18 budget, but I see it's on the 12th of May, that Friday, in fact. That covered me because our budget vote for Parliament is actually on the 30th of May. So that's on in that month. But I just think we're going to have to align this program to the parliamentary program. Yeah.
All right. I'm looking at Cindy, Darren, and everybody else. Do you guys want to comment and give more clarity to questions raised by members? In any order, but we'll go around here if you want to.
Parliament, that's on last week's staff conference, which program, because we didn't have today's one, so we had to use that one. And then we did try to align it with the oversight policy committee stuff, but the meeting was so concerned on the Wednesday, it's supposed to be from 9 to 1, because it only deals with committee business, if committees are sitting on that day, based on this today's program, we could meet during lunchtime.
Honourable members, Cindy will try and go and align the content that we have here to the new program. I mean, to the program as decided this morning. We will then send it out to members so that you can all comment on it. We all chairs and whoops and so on. We will send it out for comments sometime during the course of next week, just so that you can make comments and we can tighten it up, because we're not going to have all those details that you might have. And Cindy indicates that she'll be able to do that by a close of business. Not tomorrow, you're working on Tuesday's tomorrow. Monday. We'll give you another report on Monday. We've got another committee. No, we've got another committee dealing with tomorrow. See?
Yeah, hey. Yeah.
And
before we close, I know we're moving towards closure. There's just a couple of things I think we should ask the Secretariat. One of my members in focus told me today that in the International Relations Committee, I think, there was some Western Sahara or something. Yeah, it happened. But the only SASCO were invited. SASCO were invited. And no other youth formations. And I think we need to find out why and how much it costs to bring them here. Right. Secondly, there's a survey that's going on, a stakeholder survey by a group called Gantia, how were they chosen and what it's going to cost. And then lastly, Chair, is the info on the server. We were told that there was going to be a server, a new server, and what have you, what you don't use it, what we use it, Parliament server. I don't know if it's in operation, the contract's been signed, or whatever. So can we have some information on that?
Honourable Singh, are you, if I'm understanding you, you're suggesting that we must add that for information to send to the leadership to give us answers on? I don't know, honourable members. Maybe when we discuss going forward, we need to discuss how we do that. Does everybody just get up one day and say, can I have this thing? Do we put it on or do we process it? Yeah, just our work method, I think we would have to discuss how we deal with that work method. But there are these matters that Singh is suggesting that we put on and have them answered on the 12th, I hope you captured it. But I think we just need to talk in principle as to how do we put matters on the agenda and how do we process them. Yes, sir.
No, I'm not going to suggest that you wait at any other business. We should really, at the beginning of this meeting, clarify what items people want to have added onto the agenda so that we don't disclaim.
Honourable members, we will, just in terms of summarising, we will write to the powers that be to be able to brief us on all these outstanding matters that we've already identified, plus the three that you've raised, Honourable Singh, at our staff plan, whenever that takes place, bearing in mind that Cindy's going to try and align the two. We will also send a letter to the leadership of Parliament, one, asking them for the supply chain management policy, and two, raising the matter that were raised in the Rahawa letter and asking them to respond to us in writing. Also in good time so that we can have a proper discussion with the leadership of Parliament when they appear before us. So all those will be part of a document for our strat plan where we'll have a session with the Speaker and the Chair of the MCOP. Can we, at that point, then head over to Mahal Khul? Can we have somebody move closer? Yes, everybody moves so closer. Thank you, honourable members. You then get we'll have to agree on the next date on the basis of that, and then we will call that meeting on that day. Thank you very much for your time and for the notice. Thanks.
Thanks for the invite.
No, I'm okay.